Hello?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Next Fan Up, the podcast by the fans for the fans. I'm Justin, the Seahawks superfan. We're going to be talking the Super Bowl. This is our Super Bowl, but unlike most people who say that, our Super Bowl is the actual Super Bowl. So I'm going to be here with Tim, the Falcon superfan, Patrick, the Patriots superfan, and Pod Vader, the ultimate Patriots superfan, as we recap the game. In addition, once that is over, Patrick and I will talk a little bit about the spectacle in general. That means we're going to talk commercials, we're going to talk halftime show, we're going to talk announcers and technology, things like that. But first, let's talk about the game itself. All right, guys, this is Justin, the Seahawks superfan. I'm here with Patrick, the Patriots superfan, and Tim, the Falcons superfan. Here we are. This is right after the end of the game, right after one of the most unbelievable collapses I have ever seen in professional sports. And that's me being
Thanks
kind,
for
Tim.
Phrasing
sorry.
It such a, you couldn't have said, like, most unbelievable comeback. Like, you had to make it seem like my team was the problem and not his team just rose to a different level. Like, well, do you really have to do that to me? Like, is there not enough daggers in me at this point where you just had to shove another one in my back and just twist it?
Tim, consider the source, man. Like, you just set the bar that the Seahawks raised 2 years ago.
Well, let me ask you this, Tim. Do you feel like your team lost, or do you feel like the Patriots won?
My team obviously lost.
And so I'm calling them like I see them. So, guys, final score of this game, 34-28, the very first Super Bowl ever to go to overtime. Came down to, at that point, it pretty much felt like whoever won the coin toss was going to win the game, and that came to be the case. So let's go ahead and start off with Tim. I know you've got pent-up aggression that you just ready to put out. So just quick overall thoughts of the game. Where are you at right now?
I mean, you watch the game, you know where I'm at. Like, I feel like we just recorded this and you kicked me off, so now I've got to go through it again. Like, this is the third time that I've had to, like, go through this emotional range. Like, you want to know where I'm at? I said to Patrick a few minutes ago that I'm glad that this is my last podcast on this show. Like, and I'm glad that I announced that on Wednesday night when I recorded with Patrick, because I don't want to feel like people are like, oh, the Falcons fan just quit. Like, he's a sore loser. No, like, I'm glad that I'm leaving and I wanted to go out on top. I really, really did. And I feel like everybody thought that I was going to. And it just, I miss Desmond Trufant. Alex Mack played on a broken leg and it showed. Matt Ryan, that fumble was abysmal. But am I upset with him? No, because he played on a different level this year. And I feel like there were just so many little things that just kept showing that the Falcons weren't going to win. Like the drive that we ended up getting the pick six on, the fact that they converted 3 third downs because of defensive holding, like you just knew, like in the back of your head, like even though we went up 21-0, you just knew that we were going to lose because the way that we were winning wasn't the right way to win. Because yeah, it didn't matter what we did, it wasn't enough. And every single thing had like a little ticky-tack nonsense.
All fair points, but let's get a little bit chronological with this. Let's check in. So, Patrick, first half is over. You're getting absolutely shellacked. It's, 21-3 at this point? I know you know that your team can come back, but you can't tell me that you felt like the largest comeback in Super Bowl history was right in front of you at that point, could you?
No. No, God, no. Like, I could say that, but I didn't believe that.
Nobody so in
what,
their right
what,
mind.
What went on in that first half, Patrick?
Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, Donald Trump, none of them thought that the Patriots were going to win this at halftime. No, nobody in the world.
So why
Vegas,
were you getting beat
Vegas
so bad in the first half?
You a $1 million on a $1 bet at that point. Like, nobody that thought
might
that.
That might be factually correct. Yeah, so why were we getting beaten so bad in the first half? We live and die by TB12, and he was short hopping the ball and wasn't hitting open receivers, preferring guys that were his primary read but covered, right? So it was like really sloppy rookie-esque quarterback play. And meanwhile, on the opposite side of the field, you know, was standing a guy with a 158.3 passer rating. That's why we were getting beaten, right? Like the defensive scheme was good, but our guys weren't tackling, right? And, you know, Matt Ryan was taking full advantage of that. You know, the Falcons at large are taking full advantage of that. Their defense that I was mocking last week, and here's where I don't know what, like whether they really showed up and were great, and I think that's probably more the case, or like Tom Brady just wasn't that sharp. But in either case, like they're playing really strong football. And frankly, like their D-line continued to give our interior offensive line a series, like a serious, serious problem throughout the game, right? So Atlanta was better than as advertised. And, you know, people were saying leading up the game, like this will be the, you know, this could be the greatest Super Bowl ever. And like, sure enough, it was, from my opinion. I know Tim has a differing one, but like, it was a hell of a game.
Yeah. And, you know, as the casual observer in the room, you know, for me through the first almost three quarters, it was a terrible game. It was boring. I mean, it was kind of fun watching the Patriots get shellacked, but it was a snooze fest. And then all of a sudden things started to turn. So Tim, what was working so well for the Falcons during those first three quarters? I mean, a short answer is everything, but I saw great tackling. I saw great pressure. What were you seeing out of your Falcons?
I mean, we have the same 13 to 14 players that play on both sides of the ball, and we just ran out of gas. Like, that's what happened. I mean, you want to know what happened? What happened is the fact that the Patriots had the ball for 40 minutes and the Falcons had it for 23. The Falcons committed 9 penalties to New England's 4. Like, this is what happened. Like, I mean, how many plays did we ran 46 plays. Do you know how many plays the Patriots ran? Just take a guess. Take a guess on how many plays the Patriots ran.
Give me 60.
93.
Oh my wow. God, really?
That's what happened.
Oh wow. Man.
When people look back at this and say like, oh, the Falcons collapsed. No, they didn't. They fought their hearts out and it just wasn't enough. Because, I mean, how many third downs were you guys in, honestly? 14? You went 7 of 14?
Felt like a lot. Felt like a lot.
You got a bunch of them from penalties.
So no, yeah, Tim, yeah.
Four
Tim,
first let, down conversions on four third down conversions off of
Tim,
penalties.
Let me ask you this. Is scoring too quickly a problem then? Is it like a potential?
Yes, it's been a problem. That's why we lost to San Diego. That's why we lost to Philadelphia. That's why we lost to Kansas City. It's been a problem all year. Like, go to the tape. Listen to me in superfan battles. I'll tell you that it's a problem. If
well,
we can't
like
hold
your,
the ball.
Your problem is lack of depth. Right? Like lack of like, depth on defense if you can't rotate guys in.
I mean, and then we lost Devondre Campbell for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if there's enough depth to make up for 90
Goodwin
plays.
Made plays in the Super Bowl? CJ Goodwin? He couldn't hack it at his natural position last year for the Steelers. And now he comes to the Falcons, we turn him into a corner, and he's making plays in the Super Bowl? Like, I can complain all day long, but realistically, my team should not have been here. In no world do the Falcons even deserve to be in the Super Bowl? Because you look at our roster and it's not good. It's not.
I don't know, man. You just, like, not to throw water on my own party here, but you did just go to overtime in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's pretty clear indication that you belonged there.
I mean, we played half a game. If you look at the last 3 years, that's what the Falcons do, is they play half a game and then they lose. It's the same team that went 4-12 and then 6-10 and then 8-8. So it's the same team. They just outperformed expectations this year. And I love them to death. Like, I hate that I'm sitting here and I'm having to badmouth my team. But legitimately, this is what we do. The only difference is this time, like, we make it to the Super Bowl and we actually make it competitive because none of our guys, like, try to get a prostitute. They all brought a girlfriend this time. So good job, everybody.
So Tim, who were the standout performers for your team? I mean, we talked a little bit about Matt Ryan.
Brady Jarrett had 3 sacks. Like, Patrick, we talked about it Wednesday night. You said the interior of your defensive line is bad, and that was not the case today. The defensive interior was amazing. Vic Beasley was nowhere. Oh, my God. If Vic Beasley would have picked off that ball to Martellus Bennett in overtime. I mean, we had so many almost plays. The Julian Edelman scoop off the, like, barely almost.
Wasn't that beautiful?
Like, that play, that as soon as that happened, I said, there is no God. Like, in my living room, if that ball would have touched the ground, I legitimately would have prayed to any God that you could have ever wanted me to pray to, and I would have done it for the rest of my life. There's a mosque across the street from my apartment. If I needed to go Muslim, I would have gotten kicked out of my own country for doing it, but I would have done it proudly.
All right. Now, guys, before we scare off too many of our listeners, looks like we just had a fresh addition to the call. Can I assume that is our Fearless Leader pod?
Oh, my goodness gracious. that's all I can say about this game. Just unfreaking believable. And you're right, Tim. You got David Tyree, you got Seahawk, all those crazy catches. I mean, that Edelman catch is the difference. He doesn't make that catch, I don't think the Patriots continue that drive. And whew, that was
yeah,
crazy
so
one.
Jay, this was a roller coaster, right? Let me me ask you, like, how up are you and how low were you, and what was that journey like in between?
The beginning of the game, it was whatever, you know. I was a little, you know, it was 7-0, and I was like, all right, yeah. So they scored first, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, the Patriots are playing very vanilla, very conservative, very uncharacteristic of the way they had played all season long. And then there's the turnover. And we had mentioned it. We had mentioned it on the Thursday preview show that turnovers could be a factor in this game. And boy, were they ever, because I was sitting there at one point in the third quarter going, you take away the 14 points that the Seahawks, that the Falcons have scored on turnovers, and this is a 14-12 game. And the Patriots were just dominating. You know, I mentioned the bend don't break thing for the Patriots. Tim, it seemed like that's what the Falcons ended up doing, and then it just came to bite them in the butt in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, we did everything, but it's like when you do your homework and you forget to turn it in.
Mm.
Like,
good analogy. Hey, let me ask you something. Anybody have a laptop open? What was Matt Ryan's final passer rating?
I will pull that up. While I pull that up, though, let me ask you, Tim, real quick. Outside of that big Matt Ryan turnover, talking about Matt Ryan, how would you rate his performance? I mean, it seemed like other than that turnover, he was pretty much doing whatever he wanted for the most part.
I mean, we just didn't have enough plays. Matt Ryan was 17 of 23, had a rating of 144.1. Statistically, he was great. And I mean, it comes down to the fact, like I said this before pod came on, like you guys ran 93 plays to our 46. 46 plays is not enough to win a game.
And you were up, and that was the crazy thing. That was the point in the third quarter when, I mean, they flashed the time of possession. That was like double. New England was doubling what the Falcons did. And I was like, the Patriots can't. If you told me the Patriots were in double the time of possession, Brady was going to, you know, be coming close to breaking the touchdown, the yardage record, which he did ultimately even before overtime, I would have told you there's no way in the world that the Falcons are up 3 scores. There's no way.
I mean, it got to the point where, like, we tried to milk the clock, and then Schrader goes down injured, our best run blocker. And then we try to milk the clock, and then Tevin Coleman goes down injured. And it's just, you start seeing these things, and it's like, this isn't going to happen. It's just not. And then we had a minute left, and all we needed was 50 yards. And I know you say, oh, you have a minute, no timeouts, you only need 50 yards. But, like, for arguably the best offense in NFL history, and I know that statistically there's been better offenses, but it just felt like there was a chance. And then just a couple stupid plays where it's nowhere near the sideline, and it's not like we're throwing it to open receivers, and you're just like, all right, so I guess we're going to go to overtime after we punt. And I kind of wish that you guys would have just scored on that fake punt and just put me out of my misery like 10 minutes sooner. But I mean, we're going to look at this for forever, and it comes down to the same things. Like, the Falcons need another pass rusher, and the Falcons need a free safety. Ricardo Allen, I don't even know if he played today other than the play where Edelman caught the ball, because it was just laying on his arm. And I mean, I don't even know what else I'm supposed to say. Like, this whole analysis thing is really, really hard when you lose like this. I'd be terrible in a press conference right now. The league would be giving me so many fines.
By the way, the trophy presentation, what a joke. Like, Goodell congratulated Brady like during the commercial break before the presentation. And I was just like, you know, I need bad lip reading right now. Now remember, we're going to keep it professional up on the podium, right? We're not going to do any name calling. And I thought Kraft, you know, was brilliant in his victory speech and saying, you know, I said 2 years ago that this was the sweetest Super Bowl, but a lot has happened in 2 years. And he took a pause, and the crowd is going nuts. By the way, Goodell takes the mic, and he is just getting booed mercilessly. You could barely hear him over the crowd. But it was just, you know, I do. My heart does sink for you, Tim, because I've been there. I've been there, my man. We're almost there again. We're almost there again tonight. But I mean, this goes down as the greatest Super Bowl ever, and this isn't recency bias. This is the greatest comeback of all time in postseason history, with the first overtime ever in Super Bowl history. You know, everything about this game was just amazing, and you know, all you can do is sit back and say, you know, holy bleep, because that's pretty much what this game was just holy bleep. Julio Jones making two phenomenal catches that pretty much only Julio Jones could make. And honestly, the second one, Matt Ryan putting it in a spot where
that second catch
Julio Jones could catch. That was
we had to rewind it here because not even the replay was good enough for us. Like I was like, did he actually get his toes down? And they showed us him getting his toes down. And I was like, guys, I don't think he got his toes down. Like we had to rewind it here. And
we had a 6 foot one corner in tight underneath man coverage.
It was amazing. Everything about that play was amazing. Ryan put it literally in only the spot that Julio could catch it. And Julio literally gets that second foot down just milliseconds before his elbow touches out of bounds.
You know the funny thing about Julio Jones in this game, though? The only catches I remember Julio Jones making were circus catches. Like, did he have any, like, pedestrian, like, seven-yard grabs where, like, he was in reasonably loose coverage? Like, I don't think so. Like, I think that dude was blanketed pretty much all night.
He only had four catches on the night, but they went for 87 yards, and that was always in deep coverage. I mean, Julio is he's one of those guys where he's open regardless of where the safeties and corners are positioned. You just throw it at him, and he'll probably make a play. You know, I would contend that, you know, Tom Brady had a great performance. A couple other guys played great. Julio Jones, even a losing effort, is in the conversation for the best player on the field today. I mean, he was terrific. So, Pat, let me ask you real quick. Going into the game, you and I were kind of talking about how we sort of expected if there was one huge advantage for New England, it would be that heavy running game with LeGarrette Blount and just pounding it up the middle. So how right were we?
Not there.
Did I say that?
Not at all. I said that.
Could not have been more wrong. LeGarrette Blount averaged 2.8 yards a carry. That shocked me. If you told me going into the game that LeGarrette Blount on the same number of carries would have half as many yards as Devonta Freeman, I would be like, okay, Atlanta Falcons clearly won this game. But they bottled him up. Bill Belichick, who I took way too long to make the right adjustments, but what, you know, when he made those adjustments and just basically said, okay, forget the running game. And you know, when they showed Tom Brady's fourth quarter passing stats, for a second, I thought that was that was the entire game because it was that much passing. Like, it was nuts. I mean, the fourth quarter was all on Tom Brady. My question, and I want to, I'll ask all of you, but I want to start with Patrick and Pod because this is going to be the big topic du jour for the next however long. Does this cement Tom Brady as the greatest of all time to you guys?
I don't think it needed to. Like, maybe, I mean, pretty clearly I have a bias, but like, I think he walked into the game the greatest of all time. I'm sure it will for others. Right, the ring counters out there that measure the success of a quarterback with the number of championships the team he was quarterbacking won. Now it's unequivocal, you know, that it's him. But if you're like me and you judge the quarterback based on the performance regardless of the outcome of the team game, then I think Brady's the best. You know, and I'm also on here continually saying that Matt Ryan played an amazing game too, right? Even though his team lost, it shouldn't take away from the impact that Ryan had and how well he performed as an individual, right? So taking the same logic, then yeah, Brady's amazing.
And what do you say, Pod?
So yeah, unlike Patrick, I too have a bias. And for me, it has nothing to do with the ring count on his hand or the MVPs. Honestly, if the situation was different, James White played above and beyond any other player, you know, from start to finish. And honestly, James White, I think, was a strong contender for the MVP. But you said it about that fourth quarter and the fact that it is, for me, what cements it is the difficulty that Brady maybe put himself in, but ultimately had to overcome to get this victory. The greatest comeback in postseason history. I mean, you don't get to say that too often. And I think that's what ultimately cements him as the greatest of all time. And, Drew Bledsoe wouldn't have been able to do that. So, you know, I will never say I love Tom Brady. How dare you say that in the background? but it was a phenomenal performer.
All right, and finally, Tim, same question for you.
I mean, I don't understand why this is even a question. I mean, he has more rings than anyone. He's been more successful than anyone. Like, congrats to Tom Brady, honestly. The thing that I'm going to have to wake up tomorrow morning and hear is that Matt Ryan still can't win the big one. And that's the most frustrating thing that I'm going to leave him with. You're going to have the national media. You're going to hear that. It doesn't matter that it's BS. It's because we know that New England ran twice as many plays because we're the unbiased, most biased podcast. But all the national media is going to say is Matt Ryan can't win the big one. Matt Ryan's the reason they lost. And I hate that that's going to happen, but it's going to happen.
I'll trade you that for Deflategate sometime.
You know what? I mean, we had our own scandal a couple years ago. We lost the draft pick too. It wasn't as big.
No.
But
no, remember earlier when you were saying, like, I don't want to hear it from anybody that they know how I feel? Like, this is where you're going in that territory.
No, I mean, nobody knows how I feel. Nobody's ever blown a game like this in the Super Bowl. Nobody has to wake up tomorrow and realize that everyone's going to say, oh, well, the Falcons weren't supposed to be there anyways. And I know I said that earlier, but it doesn't matter. Like, everything is miserable. What?
The Falcons were supposed to be there. I will say, yeah. I will say in one instance where if we want to put any sort of blame on Matt Ryan is the way that the Patriots defense made adjustments, especially towards the end of the game, and pushing the Falcons out of field goal range in the fourth quarter when they could have kicked a field goal and that would have been game over.
I mean, but is that on Matt or is it on the offensive line? Like at that point, like I feel like that's more on a broken offensive
passing plays.
Yeah, or Kyle Shanahan, right? For yeah. Not just.
But we also had a broken running back at that point. Like we're down to just Devontae Freeman, who's lost effectiveness because there's no blocking anymore.
He wasn't going to run for -12 yards.
Matt went from having 7 seconds to throw essentially to having a blink of an eye. Like Alex Mack was very broken in the fourth quarter, and he whatever they shot him up with before the game had completely worn off, and he was jamming too much to Lady Gaga to take another shot at halftime apparently, and then Schrader going out and putting in. Do you even know who came in for him? Tom Compton. Somebody please tell me where Tom Compton went to school because I don't even know, and he's on my team. So I mean, it's just like I feel like Matt Ryan's about to get a lot of blame. That doesn't really necessarily need to go on him. And it's just, we don't have the depth. Like the talent of our starters is phenomenal, but the Falcons in the grand scheme of things should have lost in the first round of the playoffs. We shouldn't have gotten past Seattle. We shouldn't have gotten past Green Bay. Like in no world did you think that we were going to hang up 40 points on average against the two of them, but we did. And we got here and it was not enough.
So would you have rather not gone here? Like, would you have rather lost in the divisional round?
Yeah, because I wouldn't have had to go through this. Like, I feel like in the divisional round, we wouldn't have gone up 21-0 and then lost. Like, I'm going to hear more about this loss than I would have about an early playoff exit. An early playoff exit is the Falcons is normal. This
you're going to hear more.
You're ever going to get there.
You're going to hear more about this loss because of the way that they lost.
That's what I'm saying.
If it was a close game throughout and then they ended up losing, they would have been like, oh, you know, Falcons gave it the, you know, old college try. The fact that the Falcons were up by so much and allowed 31 unanswered points, that's what sucks. And that's where I hear you, because there is sort of that level of losing when you're talking about the Falcons. The Falcons, in all intents and purposes, should have won this game. The Patriots had no business winning, and yet, here we are, and I'm looking forward to getting black hat with a, you know, with a L-I on it.
I'm about to move to Cameroon so that I can get a Falcons World Championship shirt, because I feel like that's where and I feel like in Cameroon, I won't have Twitter access, and I won't have to hear from the fans that are tweeting me at Tim is hiding. Ha ha, your team sucks.
Yeah,
because like I feel like it's coming.
All right, so like, let's go ahead and bring it home, guys.
How bad things are. All right, in the time that we've been recording, someone in my Fitbit challenge messaged me and said, "Tim, are you okay?" People are checking out on me in my Fitbit app. I've been tweeted at with people saying that they should take my shoelaces. Like, this is where we're at right now.
My dog Tim, has been crying for
45 minutes because I'm screaming in the other room. And he has no idea what's wrong. Like, I'm about to go take off his Falcons harness and just put his collar back on him. Because at this point, I don't even want people to know I'm a fan. I'm that heartbroken.
It is a national tragedy. So let's go ahead and bring it home. So I just want to go around the horn real quick. Just final thoughts on the game from everybody. Let's go ahead and start with Pod.
It's the greatest. There's just, you know, nothing else that can be said about it other than that. Everything about this game was fantastic. I think every performance done in this game was fantastic. And just to give even more kudos to the Falcons, who was the dude who got the three sacks, the Garrett
Brady
character.
Garrett, fifth round pick 2 years ago.
Well, there you go. Yeah. That kid.
Jesse Tuggle's kid. Little bit of trivia for you.
Oh, even better.
Man, an even more interesting bit of trivia would be who Jesse Tuggle is. All right, hey, Patrick, your final thought.
Go to hell.
My father, you're not going to like it, Tim, but I'm really happy my team won. I'm excited. This is why we watch the games and yada, yada, yada. It's not the same at this point. Like, it's starting in, like, 2007, maybe earlier, you just expected the Patriots to win, and it was really weird when they didn't win the Super Bowl. So, you know, it sort of lost a bit of the polish. You know, it's still cool that we won, don't get me wrong. And it's awesome that we you know, survived and, you know, came back and, you know, beat all the odds, yada, yada, yada. It's just, you don't have quite the high of the win that like I did, you know, in that first Super Bowl when I'm running down the dorm hall screaming, you know, like, it's not the same as that anymore.
But all right. And then fine.
I'm absolutely running down the hall. My son was naked during the game.
You don't have like a 1 year old.
I will never understand you New Englanders.
He's like 12.
He's 13. No, he wasn't naked. But as the game kept going on, he was like, I got to take off this Brady jersey. I got to take off my Gronk jersey. And so he watched the game in just his shorts without a shirt on because he was like, this is clearly affecting the game. And clearly it did. So I guess from now on, my son's only going to be able to watch games shirtless.
That's a good adjustment. Now we know who the real MVP is. But let's give the final thought to Tim. Rough day, but this is also, which we've alluded to before, potentially your last show, unless I can talk you out of it, but I don't think I can. So Tim, your final thoughts on the game, on Next Fan Up. We hope you're okay. Everybody tweet at Tim is hiding. Make sure he is okay. Take away his shoelaces if need be. So Tim, final thoughts.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I get to go in the other room and lay down in a bed with a beautiful girl who loves me no matter what happened in this game, who's never going to listen to this podcast and is never going to hear me cry to three other grown men about a game that I was not a part of. You know, as far as thoughts on Next Fan Up, this has been a fun ride. You know, Falcons fans, hit up Pod Vader, at the real Pod Vader on Twitter, and let him know that you're interested in being the Falcons fan. I'm going to be completely honest, though, and this is a very biased opinion. You've got some big ass shoes to fill. Because I still believe that even though my team was not the best today, I'm the best super fan on this podcast. And I'll always hold that near to my heart. But you know what? Tomorrow's a new day. It's supposed to be nice in Atlanta. I'm going to get outside a little bit. And things are going to be back to normal. And people are going to be back to not giving a damn about the Falcons. And I think I'm all right with that in the grand scheme of things. Because that's just how things go here. People will change the, you know, the signs on their building back to advertising and away from Rise Up. And, you know, we'll just, it'll just be another Monday and we'll just go from there. But I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. There's no doubt in my mind that Matt Ryan is elite. And, you know, I'm glad that I was able to call a few things correctly. Austin Hooper, hey man, got a touchdown. Felt pretty good at halftime about calling him as my X factor, but didn't make a catch in the second half. So Kyle Shanahan, good luck in San Francisco. You're going to need it, my friend. It's going to be a lot harder than it was here in Atlanta. And it's only going to get better from here, Falcons fans. Keep your head up. We're going to be all right. And just know that next year, the Patriots probably won't be in it because sooner or later, Tom Brady's going to die of old age. So it's you know what? It'll always be better. It'll always be better. But next year, I will not host the Super Bowl party at my house because it sucks a lot to not know that you can just leave when it's over. Like when you're stuck where you're watching it, it's the worst. But like, growing up when I was like a Steelers fan, this isn't even that long ago. Like when Tebow beat them in the playoffs, like I could just leave. Like I just left. I didn't even say bye to people. I was just gone. Now I'm like, yeah, y'all have a good night. Drive home safe.
Wait a minute. Wait. You were a Steelers fan as recent as Tebow?
Yeah, bro.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So this is like, I told you guys, it wasn't long, but you want to know how to get on board with a team is you pay thousands of dollars to be a season ticket holder and you watch them lose. Just go when they go 4-12 and you paid $3,000 to sit in the stadium that's garbage and you'll become a fan pretty quickly. So,
all right, there you go. That's the official path to super fandom from Tim. So we're going to go ahead and shut it down there. I want to thank Pod Vader for waking up at the late hours to chime in with his opinions. Patrick, always value yours. Definitely want to give a big thank you to Tim. You will be sorely missed. And a big thank you to the beautiful woman he alluded to who will always love him. Tim's mom, thank you for tuning in as well. And that's where we're going to shut it down. All right, everybody, this is Justin, the Seahawks superfan, again here with Patrick. We have talked quite a bit about the game. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the production on the whole. So not just the on-the-field product, but the things in between, you know, the commercials, the halftime show, that sort of thing. So, Patrick, just overall, I know you're elated with the way the game ended. If you can, and this might be hard, you know, take yourself out of the on-the-field product itself. How'd you feel about the production overall?
Oh, good. I always have trouble taking myself off the field. No, production overall, I thought was good. I'm not a big fan of Fox in general. And I hate Joe Buck with the passion of a dying son, but, you know, overall, I think it was a good, well-produced Super Bowl. I thought the halftime show was good. And as you know, up to standard as the halftime show has grown to be like in the last 10 years or so. And, the commercials I thought were way better as a whole than we've seen in the past. Not a whole lot of talking babies, singing dogs, 70s rock, you know, the tropes that really bug me. I didn't see a whole lot of that this year.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that stood out to me just from the commercial standpoint is I know Coca-Cola caught a little bit of flack from some circles for a, like, America the Beautiful ad. They ran that again this year, which I thought was interesting, and it was the exact same ad. Personally, I like the ad, but, you know, nobody actually cares what I think. So I thought that was really interesting. I don't remember what they were advertising, but Melissa McCarthy had a really, really funny ad. Oh, it was like a car that was eco-friendly, and she was getting obliterated doing
a
bunch of eco-friendly stuff. Yeah.
That's $7 million well spent if you have no idea.
Right. Yeah, so I thought that one was pretty good. A couple of movie trailers I thought looked pretty good as well. The first log trailer from the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie, which I'm kind of a sucker for. Did any of the commercials in particular stick out for you?
Yeah, actually, right out of the gate. The one you mentioned, the Coca-Cola commercial with America the Beautiful, like embracing multiculturalism or whatever the term is, I thought was spot on. It was timely, poignant, definitely like embraced the political position of, you know, Coca-Cola itself, you know, but a large portion of the country as a whole. I thought that was great. Like I really liked that one.
Yeah,
I actually made a list of these for my wife.
Because they ran that commercial last year, they had some reactions. They knew what they were getting into running it. They knew, that a lot of people really, really loved it and that they had some detractors. So I do think that there was, you know, for as much courage as a multi-billion-dollar company can have, I thought there was a little bit of courage in running that ad, especially given the current political climate. I think that's a really, really good call. In terms of the on-the-field broadcast of the game, I know a lot of people aren't big Joe Buck fans. He doesn't bother me so much. I mean, he's a professional. You know, this is what he's always done. This is what he basically trained to do. This is what he was born to do, really. And so I think he's fine.
Everything about the Nazi youth, by the way, but that's okay.
that's potentially true. I've never seen if he has any tattoos on his arms or anything, so we don't know about that. And Troy Aikman, though, I like his analysis, though. I like the way he does things. I think as a combination, they're both kind of dry, so they can be a little boring at times, in my opinion. You know, neither one of them is really animated, really out there. So, you know, they don't really play off of each other in that way. Did you see I think you did. They, you know, they're always unveiling new angles and cameras. They had one, like, you know, through the quarterback's eyes thing where it goes into, like, supposedly a first person view for Matt Ryan's vision, where you see him like, you know, look at a receiver, and then Troy Aikman's trying to make the case for, oh, you know, here's the read he made, you know, here's this great decision he made, and he makes this pass, and like it shifts in all these angles. And really, all it is,
here's where you can see the trailing linebacker, the quarterback in tight coverage, and the safety over the top. And here's where you see Matt Ryan throw the ball there anyway.
Here's where you identify triple coverage, and you're like, well, it's Julio, so I'm just gonna let it go. He just comes down with it. I feel like in a football game,
good investment, guys.
Right, like there's plenty of times where, like, you know, both quarterbacks, you know, they're smart veteran quarterbacks, they, you know, they make reads and, you know, look, you know, look off the safety and things like that. You could do something cool with that, but not, oh, okay, look, here's where he stares into triple coverage, and here's where he's like, eh, and lets it go. What a waste. I thought that was amusing. I would imagine that's probably hard and expensive to put together, and you won't see that in a ton of broadcasts. Because, you know, as soon as that play was over, they probably had a team just assembling that. And they're like, okay, guys, we have to have this ready in 15 minutes, right, for it to air. So I don't know if we'll see that a lot. But I thought that was pretty good. And in terms of the halftime show, you kind of mentioned it, but let's talk about that a little bit. I'm not a huge Lady Gaga fan. I don't have anything against her either. It's just I don't listen to a ton of her music. But I thought she put on a really, really good show. You know, in general, the quality of the production over the last 10 years or so has been pretty good, but I thought she in particular had, you know, as somebody who doesn't listen to her music, I'll bet one of her concerts would be awesome. It looks like she puts on a great spectacle.
My wife has been, and she would agree. I agree with you. I mean, it's not my bag, but, you know, like, see, when I used to go to shows, and I don't do that anymore because I have three kids, I would go to a club show because I want to see a band and I want to hear them play. But when you go see Lady Gaga, you want pageantry and you want to go to an arena, right? And lights and costumes and like basically getting a Broadway show out of one person. And that's what I think she did tonight. And I mean, that was effective, right? So I don't think there was anything revolutionary that was done. Like, and no one's going to be talking about this in 5 years as one of the greatest shows I've ever seen, you know, but and for me, that was U2. Not being the biggest U2 fan in the world, like when they played for the Patriots for a Super Bowl, again, like they're pulling on the heartstrings of America a little bit too with all their 9/11 stuff, but that was legitimate because that's Bono, and I thought that was amazing. Like that was for me the best halftime show I've ever seen, and it's going to be tough for Lady Gaga to come close to covering that. But I think she did. I think she did really well.
Yeah, and I thought it was. You know, she opened up with kind of a patriotic medley of a couple of songs, which I thought, again, kind of given the current political climate, was it was sort of a, she didn't specifically make any statements one way or another, just kind of a patriotic message in general, which I thought was a pretty tasteful way to go about it. And, you know, she talked going into it that was something that she wanted to do, was to do something that was like all positive, right? You know, didn't want to come out with a big, you know, F this guy or F that guy banner, things like that. I also like the fact that I don't know if all of it was, but clearly much of it she actually sang, right? It wasn't her lip syncing over recording. You could like hear her catch her breath and like scoot in her chair and like talk and things like that. And, you know, unlike a lot of the performers that you get sometimes who really can only like sing into a microphone in a studio and then have it produced to sound good, like she's got chops, like she's got real pipes. I mean, she can really sing. And I thought that added to the authenticity of it quite a bit. I'm no music expert, so don't look for a great analysis out of me beyond that, other than the fact that I thought it was a good show and I thought she sounded really good.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that confirmed that she sang live?
You know, I haven't scoured the wherever you scour to find these things out, but there are definitely parts where it was obvious, like when she like scooted up to the piano. I don't know if she played the piano for real. She was 100% for sure singing into that microphone. You know, as far like I thought that was the most intricate, flawless timing of her like saying a couple things and then singing and then saying a couple things and singing and somehow doing this like flawless lip sync, which I don't think is realistic. So I thought that was really cool. And then there were drones, lots and lots of drones. What was up with that?
Lots of drones with her singing, you know, some John Philip Sousa.
Yeah.
But that's not a political statement.
I mean, as long as she doesn't start drone striking anybody.
Exactly.
All right. And so covered the commercials, covered the broadcasters, talked about how much you hate Joe Buck.
Well, you know what we didn't cover the combination of the broadcast and the commercial. We didn't talk about Tide.
Oh, my goodness. How could we not talk about Tide? Yeah. What was the Staingate? Like, please, for the audience, walk them through exactly what we're talking about.
It was one of the most brilliant commercials I've seen in a long time. It was so they got Terry Bradshaw, who is a buffoon by all accounts, and that's what he does for a living, so I don't think he'd take that as a shot, even though it was meant as one. He's got a stain on his shirt, like while going through, you know, like talking an analysis, like pregame of what we're about to see. And I thought it was odd that no one would throw a coat on the guy, you know, like when he very clearly got a stain on his shirt right before going on camera. And then 5-10 minutes later, you know, watching a commercial for Tide, and it's him in that shirt, like in that situation, like, oh my God, I need to get a new shirt, and like running out and trying to get a new shirt and then trying to get his laundered, you know, and then it's a comedy of errors after that. But I would have completely ignored that commercial if they didn't have the tie-in to you know, the live show that I was watching, and me wondering why this guy is on camera with a stain on his shirt. So it's just brilliant setup for the ad.
Yeah, exactly. My wife and I both noticed it and were like, well, that's ridiculous. I mean, there's other shirts. He has throw a jacket on, right? I mean, people usually wear jackets on the broadcasts. Hundreds of people can see him. Clearly, somebody can be like, hold on, don't cut to that yet. Let's cover it up. And I can guarantee you that Twitter and social media was blowing up about, like, this, you know, quote, gaffe, right? This, like, like, you know, oh, you know, here's this, you know, here's everybody's, you know, dumb uncle who, you know, played football 100 years ago, making a buffoon of himself, right? And it was, instead, it was this, like, whole Jedi mind trick where, I guarantee you they got a million social media hits, and then they paid that off with a commercial. So on the one hand, I think that's absolutely genius. On the other hand, though, and this might just be me overanalyzing and stuff, but to me, as great as it was, as effective as it was, like, I do look to the kind of sideline analysis as like something that's, I don't know if pure is the right word for it, but something that's supposed to be, you know, here's guys who know the sport, here's their honest opinion. And then, so having them be part of the production part of it, and like and specifically having the on air, like going to commercial, coming back, like the real, like what's supposed to be like the actual, you know, analysis desk be involved in just a commercial and a pull like that. I don't know. Something about that just doesn't quite sit right with me.
So if you're worried about the integrity of the analysts, I'd like to introduce you to Chris Carter and Michael Irving sometime.
All right, fair enough. You got me. Yeah, so I probably overanalyzing a little bit on that one. Well, that's all I got. Patrick, any last thoughts on the production?
No. I mean, I think they did an A job, and I don't give out A's, especially to Fox very frequently.
All right, so there we have it, guys. This wraps up another season in the NFL. Again, congratulations to the Pats fans, and congratulations to the Falcons fans. I mean, that was a great team that deserved to be there. And a big thank you to the whole Next Fan Up family and all the people who did some kind of guest work. We're going to retool our schedule a little bit for the offseason, so stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter at NFU Podcast. Follow us on Facebook. Just search for Next Fan Up Podcast. Follow us on our website, nextfanup.wordpress.com. Just stay tuned to that. And of course, you know, subscribe, like, follow, share, let everybody know about us. As you heard, we're going to need a new Falcons super fan, as well as a couple other ones. You know, that off-season free agency period is about to open up, so please be available for that. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Jeff Fisher, who was probably watching the game at home by himself, like a regular person like you and I. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is 4 quarters long.
So, guys, I'm sure you all just watched that terrible, terrible game. This is Tim, your Atlanta Falcons super fan for the last time. Luckily, I did announce my retirement from the show in the last podcast. So I'm not coming into this a sore loser and just quitting because we lost. Patrick, congratulations to your New England Patriots for having the best fourth quarter in NFL history.
Thank you. And the best overtime.
I mean, if you guys are expecting analysis from me tonight, you're not going to get it.
No, man. No, look. Like, I am clearly happy my team won, and I'm not going to be disingenuous and say that I'm sorry that you lost, because that's not true. But I am sorry you lost the way you lost, if that means anything.
I mean, in our Slack group, people tried to say, hey, man, I know how you feel. But I feel like no one's ever been up 21-0 in a Super Bowl before and lost. So no one in this stupid Slack group knows how I feel right now. I've never gone through such a range of emotions in my entire life. Like, I lost years of my life tonight. Like, I apologize to my girlfriend. Like, I'm going to die in my 60s because of tonight. And, like, I'm going to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning in a cold sweat because I dream of that Matt Ryan fumble. I'm going to wake up in a cold sweat at 3 a.m. because Jake Matthews was holding me. And then I'm going to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning because Brian Poole was holding you.
You're going to keep, like, waking up in your bed, like, your girlfriend spooning you, and you're going to be like, get off me, get off me.
Yeah, like, I'm going to go to stiff arm someone